super. We got finished with the dinner last night and everything, and Josh sat at the piano, and I walked over to the piano, and I said, so you've been writing a couple of songs? And he said, yeah, I've been writing a couple. He said, but this is one that I've been working on a little while too. And I don't know if, we probably haven't done it in a while, but I wrote a song entitled You Are probably 18, 20 years ago, I guess, in the garage of our house, sitting at the piano. And I believe even Fred McKinnon and the worship team were doing that song, leading in worship back after I had written it. And we were doing it at the Brunswick Christian School, and it just kind of spread. We had a lot of FCMI's churches doing the song. Anyway, so Josh sat at the piano and proceeded to sing the lyrics to that song in a different tune, and my heart just about burst. I was brought to tears, and then we all gathered around the piano, and I said, Josh, if I can handle it, will you sing that in the morning before I preach? He said, yes, Dad, I would. So I want Josh to sing You Are in a new little version of what God's given him. Josh.
Lord, You are my life, and Lord, You are my breath. You're everything to me. Lord, You are my shelter, and Lord, You are my shield. You're everything to me. And Lord, You are. You're the sunshine of my life. You're the rainbow in my sky. You are. You are. I'll give You glory all my days. In my life, I'll give You praise. You are. You're everything. You're everything. You're everything to me. You're everything, You're everything, You're everything to me. And Lord, You are my life, Lord, You are my breath. You're everything to me. Lord, You are my shelter, Lord, You are my shield. You're everything to me. And Lord, You are. You're the sunshine of my life. You're the rainbow in my sky. You are. You are. I'll give You glory all my days. With my life I'll give You praise. You are. You are. You're the sunshine of my life. You're the rainbow in my sky. You are. You are. I'll give You glory all my days. With my life, I'll give You praise. You are.
Wow. Thank You, Josh. Amen. Is He your sunshine today? Is He your hope? Is He your future? Amen. Thank You, Lord. I believe God wants to do great things in our lives. I believe God wants to do greater things in 2018 than what we've even seen in 2017. I realize there are some that have had successful the last 12 months has been successful. It's been wonderful. It's been bright. It's been blessed. But I'm also sensitive that there are others that the last 12 months has been a battle. It's been difficult. It's been hard. The Bible says to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, but to also cry with those who are crying. But for all of us today, as of tonight at midnight, 2017 will be history. And for all the successes and all the rejoicing, all the sadness, the sorrow, and disappointments, the Lord has a new day ahead. And I want to encourage you that in you today. I want you to believe that, to see that, that 2018 is a, not only because it's January 1st, 18, there's more significance, I believe, in what God wants to bring about, more than just another day. It's a new chapter. It's a new time. It's a new season. And you can believe that in 2018, as I believe that we step even greater and closer to the Lord, that the devil will do even more to discourage you and to pull you down and to prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. So today, I want to wrap up 2017 to remind you that you have a future, you have a hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says, a very familiar passage, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise in your word. And Lord, I thank you that it's not only words, it's words, but Father, they carry meaning and power, revelation and future and hope. Lord, today may this truth take deep root in our heart and change our lives, Lord, as we're facing a new season, that we will embrace it and expect it and look for it, anticipate it in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it or not, today marks to the very day 8 years that Kristen and I have been pastors on St. Simon's. Amen. Tomorrow will begin our 9th year here. What an honor it is to be pastor of this church. What an honor it is to pastor you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's been the biggest privilege of our life, as many blessings, and you see many of those here today seated with us, answers to prayers and miracles that we've experienced in our life. But the greatest of all of that is to serve the kingdom of God, is to be here and to serve you and to be part of your life and you to be part of our life. It's been an honor, it's been a joy, it's been a privilege. God is building something in all of us. These last 8 years, significant years, God is building great things in all of us. But there's more to come. There's a higher level, I believe, in the Lord that we're all coming to. As a family, we're all family. God has put us all together. There's more that God has prepared for us. So the significance of today being the end of an 8-year period, tomorrow beginning the 9th-year period, is no accident. It's no accident at all. But any time God is moving, any time that the Lord is shaking, any time in the history of the Word of God that God is doing something, there's always an enemy, there's always an adversary, there's always the devil coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So there's something that you and I have to do in order to embrace your future. God has given you a future and a hope, but there's something that you have to do to lay hold of it. There's something I have to do. There's a responsibility that we have in our hands that we have to take hold of, to embrace, and to go to receive that thing that God wants to have for us. God has it for us, but there's something that we have to do. See, God's word will not fail. His word always holds true. There is no deceit in what God says. There is no fluctuation in what God says. God's word is truth. and it will not fail. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says this, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven," we've seen that lately, haven't we? We've seen a lot of rain. We've seen a lot of snow throughout the country. "For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." There's someone here today that needs to remind yourself of the words that I just read from the Word of God. It shall accomplish what the Lord pleases. It will prosper in the thing for which God has sent it. It will accomplish, it will do, it will prosper, it will do all that He said that it will do. We can go into 2018 watching the news and watching the circumstances around us and have a bad day beginning tomorrow if we focus on those things, if we focus on surroundings, if we focus on the problems and the challenges and the events of the world today. We can have a bad day in the beginning of a bad year, or we can remind ourselves of the word that I just read you, and that our year will be based upon the word of God. Our year will be based upon the promises of the word of God, which will know it will not fail, it will not falter, it will not fluctuate. It is there to stay. Days full of sunshine. Days full of sunshine. God's word is strong in spite of the challenges. God's word is strong in spite of the cloudy days. I remember as we were in Ohio spending many Christmases, Josh and Kendra and Silas and Zelda were there for 6 years, although the children weren't there for 6 years. They were actually born there in Akron, Ohio. But Josh and Kendra were there finishing up his doctorate in English. And as we were there, we would go up to Akron, Ohio in December, and the gray skies, the cold air, the freezing, the snow, all those things, the surrounding things, it really applies to us spiritually. If we look at those things around us, we long for sunshine. I said, "Josh, you are much better than I to live here 6 years." He was determined and focused, and now he's in the great state of North Carolina. But we can look past all those things. We can look past Akron, Ohio, and know that there's a Georgia. There's sunshine. Amen. There's God's country. Amen. But there's something we must do to receive your future and your hope. I want to give those to you today. The first one is found in Psalm 34, 14. The first phrase of that verse in Psalm 34, 14 says, "Depart from evil and do good." Now, do you think the psalmist was maybe thinking of me or thinking of you when he wrote this? Why would he put this in here? Why is this significant, to depart evil and do good? That's not, I mean, we know that robbing a bank is wrong. We know that hating our neighbor is wrong. We know that obvious things are wrong, but it's in other times that we kind of justify what we do. We kind of justify our actions. The Bible says that even manipulation, even trying to control a situation is a form of witchcraft. So things that we think nothing of from day in and day out, the things that we say and the things that we do and decisions that we make from right, from wrong, we know obvious things, but then there are also things that I believe that we need to look at today to turn from evil and to do good. You remember the cartoons, there's a little devil with a pitchfork on one shoulder, and then there's a little angel on the other shoulder, and this one says, "Eat the chocolate cake." And this one says, "No, don't eat the chocolate cake. Eat the banana pudding." "No, don't eat the banana pudding." You know, these things. "Eat more roast." "No, don't eat more roast." And Crystal fixed the best roast of any in my lifetime yesterday. It was wonderful. Anyway, so we have the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, and that going back and forth, and the decisions that we have to make to stay away from evil and to do good. Well, life is a little more involved than just a simple decision of chocolate cake, but really the consequences are the same. We can shun evil and we can do good, but we'll see the repercussion of our decision in doing that. I believe in 2018, I'm praying that God will give us more clarity of our heart and of our soul and of our attention. Galatians 6:7 says, "Don't be deceived, because God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he also reaps." See, that does relate to finances, but it also relates to our actions. It also relates to things that decisions that we make every single day. A little funny story I ran across this week in traffic court. A large city, a young lady was brought before the judge, and she brought before the judge because she ran a red light. And he said, you know, what's the problem here? You ran the red light, and you're here in court today. She said, well, I'm a teacher, and I was running late to school, and I needed to get there for class, so I was hurried so that I could pour into those children and do the right thing and be there for those children, and I ran the red light. He said, you're a teacher? She said, yes. He said, well, you have made my day. He said, I have waited all of my career to see a teacher in class. Why don't you go to that desk and write 500 times, I will not run a red light again. 1 Corinthians 13, 10-13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Don't think that the temptation that you are facing today or will face that is uncommon. Oh my goodness, it's stronger than what I can maintain, stronger than what I can deal with. But God is faithful, the scripture says, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's the faithfulness of God. Amen. The second thing is, the other half of Psalm 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. Now, we've talked about peace quite a bit in the last few weeks. We've talked about peace and what that means. But here, it says to seek peace and pursue it. It's not just enough to seek peace. It's not just enough to see and to notice peace, but then we must pursue peace. Why do we have to pursue peace? Because peace is not easily found. Peace is not easily obtained. We could recognize peace and then not realize that we've got to pursue it. Now, as we've talked these last few weeks about peace, where does peace come from? It comes from Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It comes from Him. So as we seek peace, we see in the Word of God, and we have another teaching on this that we've come through the last few weeks, but we must seek Jesus, who is the one who holds peace. And so He's the one that brings peace in the most troubling situation, the most challenging times of our life, that we can't see peace, we can't face peace at all. It's when we pursue Jesus is when we can actually maintain and always have peace part of our life. It's He is the one who holds peace. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's you and I. You and I can be peacemakers. When there's a situation that we're in, we can actually make peace. We can create peace. There are some of you that have been through situations. I've shared a lot of my history in situations where there was not peace nowhere to be found, that I actually had to take steps toward creating peace and making peace. Did that change the situation? Did that make the situation even less complicated? Or did it solve all the problems and there was peace all around it? No. Matter of fact, it didn't change any of the situation at all. But what it did do was bring peace to my heart. We have to seek peace. We have to pursue peace. It's not easily attained. James 4:1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? See, peace is established on the inside. It's what James is saying here, that war and peace always begins on the inside of us. If we go back to the very root of an argument, if we go back to the very root of a situation, it can always be stemmed from the inside of someone. It's where it began. That trouble, that problem, that circumstance that turned into be just bigger than life itself. It all began by someone's thoughts. That's how they felt. It's a war on the inside. So peace starts on the inside. Jesus comes in on the inside, and then He affects what is on the outside. So peace comes in, but then it flows out. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That means having to not say things when we want to sometimes. Maybe do something differently than what we actually wanted to do. This is living really with an attitude of forgiveness. Peace comes through forgiving. If we hold against every person that offends us in a lifetime, oh, how that would bottleneck. And it doesn't hurt them, but it certainly hurts me. It hurts us. It creates turmoil on the inside of us. So living peaceably with all men really means to live with an attitude of forgiveness always. Attitude of forgiveness. To let things go and let God deal with the other situation. And third, we would need to go up one verse to Psalm 34, verse 13. This is what it says. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. This is where I want to spend most of my time these next few moments. Just talking about be aware of what you speak. Be aware of what you speak. I ran across a funny story again this week about John Wesley. John Wesley, of all people. John Wesley, actually, he was probably right here on this property at some point. This was his stomping ground. But I ran across a story that I love and share it with you today. He was wearing a new bow tie one Sunday, and he was speaking. He was wearing a new bow tie, as the story goes, with two streamers hanging out from the bow tie. It obviously was very fancy. I think we should maybe try to come up with some of those. I like the idea. Had two streamers hanging down from it. There was a sister in the meeting that day who didn't hear a word John Wesley said about Jesus, but sat with a long face and saw nothing but those two streamers hanging from his bow tie. When the service was over, she went up to him and said, "Pardon me, Mr. Wesley, but your bow tie is too long and it offends me." So he proceeded to hand her a pair of scissors and invited her to clip the tie down to the length that she thought it should be. Then he said, "Is that all right now?" She said, "Yes, that's much better." So then he replied, "Now, my dear sister, let me deal with your offense to me. Would you please hand me those scissors and stick out your tongue?" Proverbs 18:21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." We have the power to encourage, or we have the power to discourage. Sometimes we could do it in the same sentence. If we're not careful, we can. But what we say carries weight. What we say bears some sort of fruit. The Bible says it's either death or it's life. How many times has your tongue got you in trouble? I raise both hands. Trouble. Trouble with your boss, your spouse, your kids, your parents, your friends, enemy. I mean, just trouble. Trouble. Psalm 13, 34, 13, as we just read here, it says that evil words are words that are harmful. Evil words are ones that carry death. And it also speaks of deceitful words. Deceitful words are false words. Well, I heard that. You know, it's not proven, but I heard. So let me repeat what I heard. Deceitful words, evil words. The New Testament puts this command in a positive term. It says in Ephesians 4, 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, except when you..." That's not there, is it? Are y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading? Went out on a limb there. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, comma, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." That's what we're supposed to speak. Are we speaking anything outside of this? There is no room for anything else, not as a child of God. "Let no corrupt word, let no corrupt word, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." We're to build up, we're to heal, we're to encourage, we're to speak God's grace, the Bible says. What is God's grace? God's grace is forgiveness, it's love, it's mercy. Now, we can speak truth in the same light. The Word of God is truth, and there are many times when I've read God's Word in truth, and He has stomped my toes. He's really got on my case. So the Word of God speaks truth. He imparts grace, but it's necessary for edification because it's lifting up the name of Jesus. It's for building up. It's actually for bringing healing. It's actually for making 2018 bigger and better than 2017 was. How? By opening our eyes to truth. It's when we put too much emphasis on things that we see, and that's what we speak. For example, we see a situation, and because the situation looks like it is, we speak it. Well, we justify that by saying, "Well, that's exactly what happened." But it goes back to what we just read. Is it a corrupt word? Or is it based on facts? Yes, it's based on facts, and that's the truth. No, truth is, facts are not truth. Facts change. And facts sometimes can be described by opinion. But that is not the same as truth. There's facts and there's truth. They're two different things. So speaking facts is not speaking truth. Be careful what you speak. Be careful that you don't see a situation, you call it for what you think it is. Because there again, that speaking, that can speak death. It can speak discouragement. It can speak the contrary of the Word of God. There's also another aspect that I want to talk about today of being aware of what we speak. There's another aspect of that. We see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, I think you may have this here, Genesis 1, 3, then God said, this is the creation of everything we see around us. This is the beginning of time when God said, let there be light. Now, did God say that because he saw light or did he see darkness? God saw darkness, but he spoke contrary to what he saw. And that's when he said, let there be light. And it goes on to say, and there was light. He spoke what he wanted to see. He spoke what he desired in his heart to see, not what he saw. Because God knows that facts change based on our word. That's why it's so important is raising children and speaking life into them, speaking encouragement into them, speaking, I mean, our three perfect grandchildren are an example of that. Mm-hmm. Speak life. Speak. There's a way to correct. There's a way to correct in love. There's a way to correct in blessing. There's a way to speak things into their life that you're not seeing. There's a way to speak things into your family's life and people around you, their life, that you're not necessarily seeing. You are blessed. You are a child of God. Oh, they could have been living complete opposite of that of the night before. But it doesn't take a scientist to see things for what they see, to say things for what they see, does it? I mean, that's not very brilliant at all. Yeah, that is darkness. You know, I'll go as far as to say is if God had spoken and said, there's darkness, you know what would have happened? The darkness would have multiplied. It would have been more intense because he was speaking what he saw. But what he did was, let there be light. It was contrary to what he saw, but what happened? The Bible says there was light. We can change the situation. We can change the detail of the situation, exactly what we see in a situation by the words that we speak. Now, the first thing you want to go back to is the old days when they called us charismatics, name it and claim it. Oh, they're just using mind over matter, you know, all these sorts of things. Well, you know what? It really doesn't matter what they say. What matters is what the Word of God says. The Bible says to call things as not as they are, but as though they were, as what they will be, as what we desire them to be, based on the Word of God. And so if we follow the example of God, we should be pretty good, right? We should be in pretty good shape if we follow the example that he has put before us. God did not speak what he saw. God spoke what he wanted to see. Light or darkness is determined by the words you speak. God did not speak the problem. He didn't dwell on the darkness. He didn't say, well, because of this darkness, mankind will not come to me. He didn't pray the facts. He didn't speak the facts. How much time do we spend praying to God what the facts are? Maybe 99%? Okay, 98% of the time. We pray things. It's like we're telling God how bad the situation is. Number one, he already knows. But number two, what he wants you to speak is what his word says, which is contrary to what the facts are. Refuse to say what you're seeing and begin to confess what you desire to see. Job 14:7 says this, for there is hope for a tree. If it's cut down, that it will sprout again. That's faith. There's hope for the tree. If it's cut down, it'll sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Listen, if there's hope for a tree, there's hope for you. If we got enough faith, we're going to cut that tree down. And believe me, we've done that. Some of these trees we've wanted to kill permanently, and they still sprout up, you know? But if there's hope for a tree, if the principles of God will cause a tree to sprout up again, once it's cut down and you drill holes, put salt in it, and it still sprouts up, there's hope for us knuckleheads too. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10 says this, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." There you go. Do you love God? Well, he has some things prepared for you that you've not seen, that you've not heard, and has not even crossed your thought pattern. In other words, your biggest, greatest dreams, your biggest, greatest hopes for 2018, God has plans to trump that, to top that. And he's prepared that for those who love him. Those that are going to be strong enough to speak the word of God, not based on the facts, but based on the word of God, the truth. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:10, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." See, we're going to see those things through the Spirit of God, which requires us to be close to him. I can't hear the Spirit of God when I'm somewhere where he's not. And the only reason I can be where he's not is I'm running away from him. The Bible says he's always with us. He's always with us, but we can leave him. But if we're close to him, he says that he's going to reveal those things to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God's not shallow. God's not dingy. He's not offended by that. He's confident in who he is. We've just got to be close enough to him to hear those deep things that he wants to share with us. Y'all remember the story of Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 37 talks about the Valley of the Dry Bones. And Ezekiel was come down to these Valley of Dry Bones. And he's an example, really, of what we are. If we were to go into a Valley of Dry Bones, the first thing we're going to think of is there's no hope here. Right? I'm not going to go talk to a Valley of Dry Bones because I don't think they're going to respond. I don't see any ears on their head. I see where the ears used to be. That's a skull there, and that's where his shoulder was and his knee. I can see those things, but there's no meat on the bone, and it's just lying there dry. There's death there, so there's no hope. That's many times the way we see situations in life, that they're hopeless. They're dry bones. There's no use to even praying for them. But this is what God says in Ezekiel 37:3. God said to me, "Son of man," he's speaking to Ezekiel, "son of man, can these bones live?" Now, do you think God was just waiting on information from Ezekiel? God was just, he was rubbing his hands and he said, I need an answer. Ezekiel, no, that was not God. See, God knew the answer. He wanted to see if Ezekiel knew the answer. God is asking you today, how big do you think 2018 will be? He already knows. He just wants you to know. So God tested Ezekiel, just like he would you and I. What would have been our answer? Well, Ezekiel's answer when God asked him that, "Son of man, hey, dude, can these bones live again?" So Ezekiel said to him, "Oh, Lord God, you know." I think that's a great answer. He didn't say no. He was saying, "Oh, God, you're the only one that knows. I don't think so, but hey, you know." I think it's a great answer. I couldn't have come up with a better one myself. That was a great answer. "God, you know." But look at what God instructed Ezekiel to do in verse 4. God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones." Are you kidding? Prophesy to these things here that there's no life in, that you can blow it and you see dust poof up. There, what can you do with this, God? "But he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them." He even told him what to say. Notice he didn't tell him to state the facts. He didn't say, "Hey, you dead thing." He said, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of God." That's what he said to say. So obviously God knew more than Ezekiel knew, because based on what the facts were Ezekiel seeing, I mean, Ezekiel may not have been real smart, but he knew that those were dead bones and they weren't moving, and there was no life there. There was no heart there. There were no lungs there. There was nothing there to show any sign of life at all. And God still gave him the words to say to those bones, "Hear the word of the Lord." Why would God instruct Ezekiel to speak to a graveyard full of bones? Are you facing a graveyard full of bones today? Are you facing a hopeless situation? Well, look at Ezekiel verse 7 of chapter 37. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. He was obedient. He did what God told him to do. And as I prophesied, as he was speaking, getting the words out of his mouth, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I could see revival breaking out right there in that graveyard. Really, all your situation needs is for you to speak the word of God. All your 2018 needs is for you to speak the word of God. Now, that will come tomorrow, January 1st, 2018, but you know what? You need to do the same thing January the 2nd, January 3rd, and however many 360-some days there are this year in 18, you need to speak it every day. Why? You're not reminding God of his word necessarily. You're reminding you of God's word. I need to be reminded of God's word. Because I already see the facts. I already see all the things that are hopeless. I already see the dry bones, if you want to put it that way. I already see the things that it doesn't seem like there's any hope in whatsoever. I already see the confusion and the backbiting, and I see that what the devil wants to do. I see those things, but you know what? If I speak those things, I'm reminding me of what the devil wants to do. But as I speak the word of God, I'm reminding me of what God wants to do, even greater than what the devil wants to do. We know the Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So anything that the devil does, sometimes we're shocked by, oh my goodness, Pastor Mike, the Satan really is coming. He's coming against me. You're kidding. You're joking, right? You're talking about the same Satan I know. He's coming against you? What is he thinking? The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's something that we shouldn't be shocked about. But the Bible says that God came to bring you life and life more abundantly. So why not speak that word? That's the word of God. Jesus just wants us to know what Satan's come to do only because our eyes can be open and to see the facts. But the truth is greater than the facts. And that is he's come to give life. He's come that as we prophesy, as we command the circumstances, the same thing will happen in our lives that happened in Ezekiel. There will be a noise. Now, if noise makes you nervous, wear earplugs, because there may be a little noise, the Bible says, and suddenly a rattling. Now, I don't know how many dead bodies there were among this thing here, but I could just imagine. Have you ever heard bones clanging together? Imagine if that was multiplied by several hundred. That could have been fairly loud, but there was a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Now, that means that when God brings something together, it's all in perfect order. Mr. Smith's right arm might have been over here. Mr. Smith's left arm might have been over here. His skull might have been back there. No telling how far that thing flung when it happened. But you know what? When God puts it in order, it's going to all be perfect. Mr. Smith ain't going to be wearing Miss Johnson's right arm. It's going to be his right arm. He's going to put it back just perfectly. As we speak, we don't have to do God's job. Thank God I don't have to do his job. Thank God he allows me to do it Mike's way, which is not necessarily his way, but he sits back and chuckles and laughs and lets me do it. And then he says, okay, Mike, now you speak my word, and I'm going to put things together perfectly. There's no way you can do it, ha-ha, but I can because you're speaking my word. And he brings it all perfectly together just the way he designed it to do. And he's waiting on you to speak the word. He's waiting on me to speak the word. See, that's why God has given us hope. Faith requires hope. See, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we've got to have hope to have faith. If you're hopeless today, you have no faith. Just get a little hope, because God said that he came to bring hope to you. Hope in the days ahead are better than the days behind you. Hope that your health is better than what it's ever been before. Hope that the financial situation in your life is about to turn around, and God's going to bring a miracle and bring life into your situation. Romans 4:17 says this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, who's the Bible talking about right here? He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about Abraham, the father of many nations. I have made you, God says, the father of many nations. Now look at this. He's saying, I have made you. This is past tense. I have made you. I'm not making you. I'm not going to make you. He says to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, in the presence of God, whom he believed, God. Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, I just wrote that today real quick. So I hope that's in your Bible. I went while you were sleeping to put that in there. So I hope that's correct. Amen. Does your Bible say that? Praise God. But God is speaking about Abraham because it already was. Even when Abraham was old, he was weak, he was in a wheelchair, he didn't have much strength, and Sarah, poor thing, she was about as good a shape as he was in. And then God is still saying, I've got a plan for you. I have made you the father of many nations. And what seems to be impossible with Abraham, God brings it about and makes him the father of many nations. Exactly what God said is what happened. What has God said to you? If it can happen for Abraham, it can happen for you. The difference is, many times we refuse to believe the truth. We want to believe the facts instead of the truth. Abraham, he refused to doubt. Abraham refused to believe anything except for the word of God and the promise of God. And so because he had hope and faith in what God was saying, Abraham received the favor and the blessing of God. What are you doing today? Are you looking at the reality of the situation? Well, this is the way it is. And this is this person this and this person that. And this is the way it is. And I've been disappointed and I've been hurt and I've been, I've heard it all. I've heard it. And I understand. But you know what? If you put your focus and your eyes on Jesus Christ, the one who doesn't disappoint, the one who doesn't hurt, the one who speaks truth, the one that can change your situation in a fraction of a second, just that quick, if we put our hope and our focus and our eyes on him, what else really matters? If we were to take, Kendra, I think you love jigsaw puzzles, don't you? Take these big puzzles and put them together. But if you were to take one of these 1,000 pieces and you say, wow, that is a pretty picture. Nobody does that. I mean, unless I just, you don't take a 1,000-piece puzzle and take one piece and say, I'm going to frame that. That is beautiful right there. No, you can't see it. Matter of fact, it's impossible. If you look at that gray piece, you think it's snow from Akron, Ohio. You wouldn't think there's anything to it. Amen? I'm sorry, buddy. But if you put that along with those other 999 pieces and take your time and put that thing together like God's putting things together in your life, then you can know, even before you get to the finished product, hey, God is doing something. He's putting together that jigsaw puzzle in a certain way where I can have faith and hope in him and know that my future is in his hands and it's going to be awesome. So, y'all, let's don't look at the reality of the situation. Let's look at the truth of the situation. Let's keep our eyes on him. Let's turn from evil and do good. Let's seek peace, pursue it, and let's be aware of what we speak. Let's speak the word of God and don't vary from it. Know that our future is depending on us speaking the word of God. Know that your words matter. Know that your word carries weight because it's speaking life or death. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Come on, Josh. To give you hope and a future. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Because I fully expect that you're going to bring some things about in 2018 that will surprise us. And Lord, I pray that today that you will give us a glimpse of who you are, to trust you, to trust that those things that you're bringing about, God, we will not look at the circumstances, we'll not look at the reality, we'll not look at the facts, but Lord, we will be focused on the truth. We'll be focused on your hand moving. But God, will be faithful to call those things as you see them, to call those things as you desire to see them, God, and it's not the way that we see them. Father, open our eyes today. Open our spiritual eyes today, God. Open our spiritual eyes today that we may see. Father, our natural eyes takes in everything around us. Our ears hear the facts. Our eyes see the facts. And we base our entire emotions in our life based on those facts. And God, you said that there's something greater. God, I pray that today, as we prepare for 2018, that our life in 2018 will no longer be based on facts, but will be based on the miracle truth of the Word of God. And God, as we focus on you, there is no limit. All things are possible only with you. God, you're our life source. You are our strength. God, you bring healing to relationships when we think they're hopeless. You bring healing to finances, Lord, when we think it's too far. God, you bring it all together just by speaking your word. Today, Lord, we proclaim your word. Today, we speak to those things as we desire to see them by the power of God.